Today we begin our new sermon series on resisting gossip. This is the t-shirt that my wife and kids got me for my birthday a couple weeks ago. It says, "Ask me about my book." No, really. And a lot of you have been graciously asking me about my doctoral project, which includes a ministry book on the subject of resisting gossip. So for the next several weeks, I'm going to tell you about the book and share with you what I've been learning. You might wonder why I've picked this topic. I told somebody once I was writing a book on the subject of resisting gossip, and he said back to me, "Oh, do you have that problem in your church?" And I was able to say, "No, we don't have a gossipy church. I would have picked a different topic if we did. I wouldn't want anybody to feel like I was picking on them. And I promise not to gossip about any of you during this series." However, gossip is a problem that we all experience. No one is immune from the temptation to gossip, and no one is immune from the effects of gossip. And yet there hasn't been very much teaching on the subject for Christians. Probably we can count on one hand, and many of us maybe wouldn't even raise one finger if we would count how many sermons we've heard on the subject of gossip. It's an everyday problem, and yet there isn't much in the way of everyday help from Christian resources to help followers of Christ to resist it. So that's why I picked gossip, and what I've been learning, I think, is very helpful. So I'm going to test drive it with you, all right? You're the guinea pigs. You give me feedback about it, and then we'll put it into a book to help others, okay? What do you think of when you think of gossip? Perhaps you think of Abby Houston hilariously playing Eulalie McKechnie Shin in the West Branch production of The Music Man, and the young ladies dancing and singing and clucking around her, "Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, cheep, 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 pick a little, talk a little." My mom loves Norman Rockwell paintings, and so I grew up with having them around the house, and this one is my favorite one. It's called The Gossips. Can you see it from where you are? Can you get the picture? Have you seen this before? A woman tells her friend a story, top left there, and it's about someone. It's always about someone. And she tells her friend who tells her friend who tells her friend who tells or his friend who tells her friend and so on, everybody laughing about it until you get down to the bottom right-hand corner when it gets back to the subject of the gossip, and then he confronts the original speaker. He's not so happy about it. Haven't we all been in one of these positions at one time or another? The speaker, the listener, the subject of the gossip. Some of these positions are more fun to be in than others, aren't they? Well, Norman Rockwell's painting seems pretty harmless. I'm trying to black screen that, Tom, if you would. Thank you. But gossip, at least sinful gossip, is not harmless. It's harmful. It's dangerous. It's evil. Listen to the Apostle Paul put it into a list of sins. This is Romans chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. He's talking about the universal sinfulness of humanity, especially the depravity of the Gentiles. Listen to this, Romans 1, 28 and 29. "They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They're senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them." Whoa! Being a gossip makes it onto the list with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. It makes the list in between murder and God-hating. And Paul says that those who do such things as gossip deserve death. Wow. That's bad stuff. sinful gossip is not just a little neutral thing. The Apostle James says, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Wow. Sinful gossip is not just a little neutral thing. It's playing with fire. So that's why we're going to talk about it for the next few weeks and develop some biblical strategies for resisting it. The first step is to recognize gossip. What is it? What exactly is sinful gossip? If we're going to resist gossip, we need to have a pretty good definition in our minds. The first rule of war is to know your enemy. So what is gossip? How do you recognize gossip? That's not an easy question. One of the reasons why I tackled gossip as my doctoral problem was because I wasn't exactly sure what was gossip and what wasn't. How do you know? When is it just small talk, shooting the breeze? And when is it sinful gossip deserving of death? We're regularly confronted with the question, should I be saying this? Should I be sharing this? Should I be listening to this? What makes it wrong? Is it when it's said? Or is it who says it? Or is it whom it's told to? Well, isn't it okay if you're just telling your mom? Or your wife? Or your sister? Or your pastor? The hardest part about recognizing gossip is that it doesn't come with a warning label. Wouldn't it be great if this would flash across the heads of people you're talking to? Warning: the contents of the next conversation contain sinful gossip. Use extreme caution. I'm not sure I'd like that to show up over my head. But that's not what happens, is it? No, normally you're just minding your own business and this juicy piece of news about someone else just comes right across and asks you to swallow it. Look down at Proverbs 26:22 on your page. Black screen. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Let's pray together as we begin to meditate on God's holy word. Father, thank you for your word, that it addresses our daily life, that it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the people of God are equipped for every good work. Thank you for speaking to this issue of our life. I pray that we would learn today and that it would change how we live. In the name of Jesus, I ask for this help and blessing. Amen. Proverbs 26:22 again. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Choice morsels are those things that you want to swallow up greedily. They're the best, most addictive things to eat. They are like Doritos put on the kitchen counter. What happens if mom puts a great big bowl of Doritos, or if you don't like Doritos, substitute your favorite snack food, in a bowl on the counter in the afternoon? They're gone like that, aren't they? Yeah, my wife has got wise to this and has started putting out a bowl of apples on the counter, or carrots, and they're gone long before supper too. But let's just say they're Doritos. What happens if you eat the whole bag before supper? The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. You feel it right here, right? My grandmother used to say, once across the lips, always on the hips, right? Well, gossip is like that. It tastes great, but it will poison your heart. Now again, what is gossip? What is it exactly? I'm glad you asked. After a thorough study of the whole Bible, and every time the Bible talks about gossip and uses a word that is translated gossip, and every time the Bible talks about gossip without using the word, I've come up with this definition that I hope will help us to identify sinful gossip when we hear it or when we're tempted to pass it on ourselves. Sinful gossip is bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. Sinful gossip is bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. And you can see that this functional working definition has three parts to it. Bearing bad news, behind someone's back, out of a bad heart. We're going to go through those one at a time. Sinful gossip is bearing bad news. Gossip is a talking thing. Obvious, right? Look down at verse 22 again. The words of a gossip. Gossip is sharing. It's communicating. It's a talking thing. Now that goes both ways. Sinful gossip is both talking and listening to this kind of bad news. Proverbs 20:19 says, a gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid a man who talks too much. So gossip is often sharing someone else's secret. Have you ever done that? Shared a secret that wasn't yours to share? Have you ever had that done to you? Had your secret shared by someone else? How's that feel? It's talking. The proverb says, avoid a man who talks too much. But it's not just talking, it's also listening. Proverbs 17:4 says, a wicked man listens to evil lips. A liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. The New Living Translation says that verse this way, wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. Liars pay close attention to slander. So sometimes, even just receiving that juicy piece of gossip without saying something or stopping the conversation or trying to, is sinful too. Almost as sinful as speaking it. Listening is also bearing the bad news. And of course, this bearing of bad news isn't just talking out loud. You can gossip online, right? Right? There's this thing called Gossip Book, right? Facebook, right? I'm just kidding. Like most things, it can be used for great good, and I use it. But anything that can be used for great good can be used for great evil, especially if it involves lots of words. So sinful gossip might just be pressing the enter key on your computer, or the publish button on your blog, or the share button on your Facebook page, or pressing the little green button on your phone. Sinful gossip is, number one, bearing bad news. Now that bad news, this story, because it's almost always a story, can be bad news in three different ways. First, it might be bad information, meaning that it's false. If you know that it's false, then it's not just gossip, it's also slander. But sharing lies about someone behind their back is gossip. If I told you that Davy Williamson killed and then ate his own cat last week, that would be gossip, because it's not true, is it? I didn't think so. But you and I can think of a lot worse lies to pass around about someone, can't you? And what that would do to their reputation. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can really hurt me. Have you ever had your reputation hurt by the bad information that someone spread about you? At one time, I heard through the grapevine in our little community that a rumor was circulating that I had left my wife. Now that was laughable to anyone that knows us. I couldn't live without her. But I have no idea who started the rumor or who might have heard it and believed the lie. Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. If you want to stay close to your friends, don't gossip about them. Don't tell lies. But the bad information might be something that you think is true and isn't. That's also bad. It's also sinful gossip. Or it might be unverifiable, or rumor, or hearsay. A second way this news could be bad would be bad news about someone. Meaning a story about someone, about something bad that they have done. Now it might be true, but that doesn't mean that you and I need to be talking about it. Let's say one of your friends recently did something bad. And you heard about it. Maybe they even were the one that told you. They committed adultery. They cheated on their income tax. They lied to their boss. They hit their mother. Whatever. They did something shameful. They actually did it. Now listen, you and I don't have to talk about that with our friends. And I know that's hard to do. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. Ooh, they're hard to resist. Now, some of you have the King James Version in front of you, and you're scratching your heads at what I'm saying about verse 22. Because your translation says, the words of a talebearer, now that sounds right, bearing bad news, are as wounds, and they go down to the innermost parts of the belly. And says the exact same thing as Proverbs 18:8. God thinks this is so important, He repeats Himself in the Proverbs. The reason for the difference is a trickiness in figuring out what the Hebrew word is here. The translators of the King James Version thought that the root word was a Hebrew word that meant to hammer or strike something. It's the Hebrew word halam. That's true too, isn't it? The words of a gossip are harmful. They wound you. They're a kick in the gut. But most scholars today think that a different Hebrew word was the root word for this one. It's laham instead of halam. You can see where you might make the mistake. A word that means savory or delicious morsels that you can't hardly resist and want to swallow down like yesterday. My wife makes a candy called Buckeyes. They're like a homemade Reese's cup, but better. They're chocolate on the outside and a sweet peanut butter on the inside. You pick a toothpick. You stick a toothpick into this ball of sweet peanut butter, and then you dip that into the melted chocolate. You pull it out on the wax paper, and then you freeze it. Oh boy, is that good. For my birthday last year, she gave me a coupon for Buckeyes, and I could turn it in at any time, and I turned it in this week. So this week, those Buckeyes are coming. Heather has to lock the cabinet after making them because I can't say no. If she offers me a Buckeye, I don't care how many platefuls of whatever I just ate and how full I am, I'll find the room. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. Of course, they didn't have confections back in Solomon's day. So this was probably more like a choice piece of meat. My son Andrew, when the roast beef is going by, says, "Can I have a piece with some fat on it?" Yeah, that's the choice morsel. You wouldn't know it from looking at him. But he likes the fat. It's hard to resist. Yum. Bad news, shameful news about someone else is like that too for you and me. It's addictive, but it's not good for us. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Some foods make us sick to our stomach, but gossip makes us sick to the heart. There's something wrong with us that makes us want to know and talk about the shameful things that other people do. A third way that this bad news could be bad is bad news for someone else. Meaning not that they did something shameful themselves, but that something bad is projected to happen to them. In Psalm 41, King David got really sick. And his enemies rejoiced and started to gossip about him. David writes in Psalm 41, "My enemies say of me in malice, 'When will he die and his name perish?' Whenever one comes to see me, he speaks falsely, while his heart gathers slander to the heart. And then he goes out and spreads it abroad. All my enemies whisper together against me. They imagine the worst for me, saying, 'A vile disease has beset him. He will never get up from the place where he lies.'" That's gossip too. David has not done anything shameful here. He's just sick. But his enemies are two-faced. And they come in and say, "Oh, poor you, King David." And then they go out and they spread the bad news that he's going to die. Have you ever had something like that happen to you? People are saying about you, "He's going to lose his job. He's not going to make the team. She's going to get kicked out of school. Her husband is going to leave her. They're going to lose their house," and so on. Gossip can be bad news that is projected for someone else. Sinful gossip is bearing bad news, number two, behind someone's back. By definition, gossip happens when the person you're talking about isn't there. That's one of the things that makes it gossip. If you have the New American Standard or Revised Standard or English Standard Bible in front of you, then your translation says here in verse 22, the words of a whisperer are like choice morsels. A whisperer. A whisperer, a gossip, is someone who talks about you behind your back. And that's intentional. It's much easier and more interesting to talk about someone who isn't there, right? So we have to ask ourselves the question, would I say this if he were here? Would I receive this bad news about her in the same way if she were standing right here, part of this conversation? That might show you whether or not it's gossip. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't ever talk about people who aren't present. That was a lot of negatives in one sentence. It doesn't mean we can't ever talk about people who aren't present. Well, we certainly can say good things about people who aren't there, right? Let's turn gossip around and start spreading good news about people. I heard this morning about a church. Some ladies were telling me this morning, a church not far from here. How far away? About 2.5 hour drive. And last Sunday they had a special sacrificial offering Sunday. And they gave $80,000 and paid off the mortgage on their church. Isn't that good news? Let's spread that around. God's working in big ways in other churches. Let's spread good news. But sometimes we have to talk about people who aren't present and even to share bad things about them. Parents have to do that. Now, we could still gossip about our kids. We could say, wait till you hear what your son did. But we certainly do have to talk about our kids. Teachers have to do that. Elders and pastors have to do that. Even friends and teammates and co-workers and neighbors have to do that sometimes. There's a whole biblical category of warning others that we have to do. I heard about a Christian couple who tried really hard to resist gossip, and here's how they did it. They wouldn't talk about someone who wasn't in the room. If you left the room, you were off topic. You go to get a Coke, can't talk about that person. They wouldn't even share something good about that person while that person had left the room. That was their way to deal with it. That doesn't work. You can't sustain that in our world. Sometimes we have to get some counsel from someone about our problems. And that involves sharing about the shameful things that someone else has done without them present. It's not gossip to truly seek out help. But the key is to keep loving them even when you have to talk about them, even if they're your enemies. We'll talk more about this in a few weeks when we start to get really practical. But it's just applying Jesus' golden rule of thumb to difficult situations. If you have to talk about someone when they're not there, make sure you're treating them like you would want to be treated if you were the person that wasn't there. Because sinful gossip is clandestine. It's burying the bad news behind someone's back. Number three, out of a bad heart. Because that's where all bad words come from, isn't it? The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 12, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever our hearts are full of is what will come out of our mouths. The heart is the control center of the person. It's the inner you, the real you. The heart is the worshiping core of a human being, and it's out of the heart that we live. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. We live out of our hearts. Our words come out of our hearts. Our hearts are where our motivations form. And I believe that our sinful motivations for speaking or listening is what makes sinful gossip sinful. Get that? I think that's one of the most important things I'm going to say today. Our heart motivations, our sinful motivations for speaking or listening is what makes sinful gossip sinful. Because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the most important thing about gossip is where it comes from. It's the why question, right? Why am I saying this? Why am I sharing this? Why am I attracted to this bad news? Because of something going on in here. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. And we are attracted to these choice morsels because of something already wrong in our inmost parts. Can you think of some bad motivations? Some icky things going on in your heart that might lead you to gossip? Come back next week and we'll talk about it. Ooh, great. Next week, a list of sins in the heart. Because it's more than just jealousy and revenge. Now, those are the ones that come quickly to our minds, right? We'll talk about those. Malicious gossip is almost always about jealousy or revenge. It's the anger family of sins. But sinful gossip is bigger than just malicious gossip. There are other motivations, other things that can be driving us towards gossip than just those. Take boredom, for example. A desire to be entertained. I'm bored. Tell me something about somebody else that'll keep me entertained. Idle gossip is also sinful gossip. Or my personal temptation is pride. I am tempted to gossip to show that I'm in the know, that I'm on the inner circle, that I'm a real somebody. Next week we'll look at several different heart motivations that need to be confronted by the gospel of Jesus Christ so that we can truly change and resist the temptations to gossip. Because it's not so easy. I know that sometimes when I'm talking about this problem of gossip, it seems easy to just say, well, just don't do it. Come on. It's not rocket science. Cut it out. Stop it. But it's not always that easy, is it? Often the battle is down at a core level, at a heart level. But it is possible to win. Jesus Christ made it possible by dying on the cross to save us, by coming back to life to give us power to live a holy life, and by sending His Holy Spirit to apply His promises to our hearts. What's the state of your heart today? Is it centered on Jesus Christ, who lived and died and lived again for you? Or is your heart swallowing the icky candy of sinful gossip? The only sure way for us to resist gossip's lure is to have a heart that is full of worshiping Christ, that's full of Jesus, that's feasting on His delicious words, a heart, an innermost being that is full of Jesus. Now, Proverbs 26:22 is just a warning. It doesn't tell us how to resist those choice morsels, just that we need to. So now that we've got a biblically informed definition to recognize gossip, we can begin to think better about gospel strategies for saying no, for bearing good news, for being upfront and loving with those we love and talk to, and for having a changed heart that loves God and loves people. It's important to know that it is possible to resist gossip. Hear this promise from 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. So the words of a gossip are choice morsels. You're going to get seized. You're going to feel like this. I've got to do this. Well, that's normal, he says. That's common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So in Christ, you can say no. But when you're tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it and resist gossip.